answering some of your questions over the last couple weeks, and I don't have any questions tonight, so I have a question, though, for you tonight as my message title, okay? And you have another question?
No, it's an
ask me, ask me. Oh, okay. That'd be an interesting twist, I think. That'd be good. But I do have a thought tonight that I want us to consider. But before we do that, let me begin with this. Proverbs 18, verse 24 says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Friendship is a wonderful blessing that has been bestowed upon us by the Lord. And yet, friendship can also at times cause for us great heartache. I think I've probably shared this story before, but it's a good one, so I'll share it again. There's a story told of two friends that were out together on a hunt in the western part of the country. Suddenly, one heard the other one yell out, and as he turned around, he looked and saw a grizzly bear charging. He looked at his friend to see him frantically trying to tie up his shoes and asked, "What are you doing? Don't you know you can't outrun a grizzly bear?" His friend replied, "I don't have to outrun the bear, I just have to outrun you." That's a friend that doesn't stick all that close. Some of you will get that later on, but that's okay. It is the middle of the week. Sometimes friendships don't always work out the way we want them to be. Sometimes friends that claim to be our friend in a moment of trial and distress quickly flee. Yet the verse reminds us here in Proverbs that there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and that friend is Jesus Christ. What a joy and blessing it is to know that we can enjoy the friendship, the closeness of fellowship with Jesus Christ. Perhaps the apostles knew the blessing of that firsthand more than we do today. And probably no one understood that maybe more than one like Peter. Peter was a man who was ardent in his love for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was willing, above everyone else, to pledge his love and loyalty to the Savior. He was brought into the inner sanctum of the apostles, and he knew what it meant to be the friend of the Lord. But when we come to Matthew chapter 16, we have to ask ourselves the questions: are we friends or foes? Do we help or hurt? Matthew chapter 16, I'm going to begin reading in verse 13. I want you to follow along as I begin there, read down through verse 24. And then we want to look and ask the question, am I a friend or a foe of Jesus Christ? Matthew 16:13 says, "Then Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the other prophets.' He saith unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?' And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And he said also unto thee, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.' Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee.' And he turned and said unto Peter, 'Get thee behind me, Satan. thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Bow with me, please, in a word of prayer, and then we'll consider some thoughts together. Father, we thank you for this time tonight, this chance to be able to look into your word at this passage of scripture. And Lord, to answer the question in our own mind, are we the friend or foe of Jesus Christ? Lord, I pray that we would be able to give a fair and honest answer tonight in our own heart, in our own lives. And Father, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. In this passage, we find two basic expressions of Peter. And with both expressions, we find a response of the Lord. The one expression shows Peter to be the friend of God. The other one shows him to oppose him, to be in the position of foe. What's interesting to note is that both of these events take place very close together in the life of Peter. Almost, it seems, back to back. But the reality is, in this close proximity of time, Peter both expresses great faith and great fear. He is both receiving a recommendation from the Lord, and he is also receiving a rebuke of the Lord. I want to look at both of those expressions, and I want you to be able to evaluate in your own heart and life, am I expressing the thoughts of a faithful friend, or I am acting more like the foe of Jesus Christ? So am I helping in ministry, or am I hurting? Am I a friend or a foe of God? That's our question tonight that we need to answer. First of all, I want to look at the expression of a faithful friend. The time of the Savior with men was quickly coming to a close. For 3 years, the Lord Jesus Christ had spent time with the apostles. Many hours had he ministered unto them, and many hours had he ministered to the masses. And within this passage, his focus will change as the Lord begins to prepare his disciples for his death and his departure. And so the Lord begins to ask them some questions because he wants them to know that his time is coming quickly to an end. And he wants to prepare their heart for what they are about to face. And in verse 13 through 16, we find what we often call the confession of Peter. And in verses 17 through 19, we find the first mention of the Savior, of his future plans for the church. It's a beautiful passage of Scripture, and I want to consider this with you for just a few moments. The sad reality is many have misconstrued these verses. And their view, that the view of the Roman Catholic Church and others, is wrong. But I want you to see Peter's confession, because it's a beautiful expression of a faithful friend. It's an expression of faith. Again, the Lord Jesus, verse 13, came into the Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, whom do men say that I am? He wants them to answer and understand what the world is saying about him. So, men, I want to ask you, who does the world around you say that I am? Some say, well, we think you might be Elijah. Some say, well, you must be John the Baptist. Some would say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Men are beginning to look and question, who is this Jesus? And they came up with their solution. But the Lord now asks the question of them. Who say ye that I am? Jesus wants now to know what they believed. Not what they had heard. He wants to know, what do you believe? Who do you say that I am? As you look at the passage there, beginning really in verse 16, we see Peter's response. And Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Without any hesitation, Peter knew his answer. Who do you say that I am? Your Messiah, the Son of God. Peter understood, he believed that Jesus was the Christ. He places and confesses his faith in him, and he was unashamed to declare it. He knew Christ to be God. He understood him for who he was. And Peter said, I'm not ashamed to declare it. You are the Christ, the Son of God. An expression of faith. He declares his friendship, his belief in Christ. I want you to see the Lord's response. Because the Lord's response is an expression of delight. Look at verse 17. Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. He responds in great delight. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Peter stood as one who able to be used now of God. He stood as one who would be helpful in the advancing of the kingdom. Jesus looks at him and says, Simon, thou art blessed. That which you have confessed did not simply come from anything, but my Father has showed it unto you. Therefore, he says, thou art now Peter, and upon this rock I will build the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Jesus said, Peter, as my friend, you're useful to me. You're able to do ministry for me. The Savior now divulges his plan for the church. A concept yet not revealed. Certainly not fully understood by these men. But one thing is clear through his confession. The Lord saw one that was helpful. The Lord saw a friend. He says to you, I've given now the keys to the kingdom. How would Peter use those keys? Folks, Peter would unlock the gospel message to the Jew first, then also to the Greek, to the whole world. He was greatly used of God because of his expression of faith, his friendship towards the Son of God. I want to ask you tonight, who do you say that Jesus Christ is? When people talk to you about God, when you speak of him and you speak about Christ, how do you speak of him? Peter, with absolute faith, expresses that he realized that Jesus Christ was his absolute hope. You are the Messiah. My trust is fully in you. The expression of faith to be the friend of Christ. Christ looked at him and said, Peter, because of that, you're useful to me. You're able to do the work of ministry that I now want to see accomplished. And man, let me explain to you what that is. I'm going to build my church. There's revelation there for them. Because of their faithful expression, their friend, they were helpful. The Lord said, in that I greatly delight. As the Lord looks upon your life, as he looks upon your actions, your expressions, do they demonstrate faith in him? The way that you come to a service, your heart's reason for being here, is it because you're the friend of God? Expressing your faith, you realize that you need him, that he is the one in whom you trust, the one in whom you rest. Or are you here for your own selfish means and end? See, Peter wasn't thinking about himself when he confessed, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And God said, Peter, you're a help to me. But I want you to come down now at the end of this passage that we've considered. Because verse 21 says that Jesus now begins to make a change in direction. From this time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples not how he is going to set up the kingdom, but how he must go to suffer many things at the elders and the chief priests and scribes, to be killed and then rise again. See, up to this point, folks, you have to understand the disciples thought he's the Messiah coming to set up an earthly kingdom. Jesus said, Peter, I'm going to use you to build my church. Again, a concept not fully understood. The Lord now needs to reveal how that's going to happen. I am going to die and then rise again. Later on, he's going to teach them and show them that I will send to you another comforter, the Holy Spirit of God. But he begins to unfold that plan. Peter, who now once stood as the friend of God, in great faith, responds in verse 22 with absolutely no faith at all, and shows himself, instead of being the help to God, he shows himself to be now a hindrance. Look at verse 22. Then Jesus took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." Peter now rebukes the Lord. The Lord has placed his focus upon the cross, not on an earthly kingdom. He begins to prepare his disciples for his death, his departure. But Peter, instead of expressing still faith, expresses fear. Because the Lord begins to speak of the cross, Peter takes him aside to rebuke him for even the mention of the cross. He who had been given the keys to the kingdom is now offended by what the Lord has now declared. His feelings stood in the way of what the Savior had already designed to accomplish. See, folks, from the very beginning, God had in his mind that Jesus would come to be born of a virgin, to live among men, that he might die on Calvary. As the plan is unfolded, Peter begins to show fear. Instead of being that faithful minister, he becomes a fearful foe. Charles Spurgeon said of this portion that Peter meant to be his Lord's candid friend, and at the same time to maintain toward him that respectful bearing which should be becoming of his follower. But his dearest friend was his direst foe when he put him off for his life's work. Christ desired to be the friend of Peter, and Peter, I think, really wanted to be the friend of God, but in essence at this point becomes the foe, trying to oppose the work of Christ. Peter could not see by faith how important it was that the Savior had to die. He saw his way. He saw his plans. He saw his dreams, his hopes, his aspirations. And now they're all gone, shattered by the revelation that Jesus came to die. He could not comprehend God's plan and sought to bring God's way into alignment with his own. That's really the expression there in verse 22. Be it far from you. This won't happen unto you, Lord. I'm not going to allow it. You can't die. Peter's way didn't match God's, and Peter wanted it his way. And because of that, the Lord now shares another expression. This time it's not delight. His expression to his friend who's become his foe is disappointment. Look at verse 23. The Lord Jesus turns and said unto Peter, what a strong rebuke, folks, to this proud servant and follower of Christ. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. I'll lay my life down. I'll die for you. Here's the Lord's disappointment. Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. His words to Peter are great disappointment. Folks, I'll be honest with you. It's hard to read those words and not hear just how sad the heart of the Savior is. How disappointed he is in such an expression. Yet we find in these words great love. First of all, would you recognize that the Savior understood the source of Peter's fear? Get thee behind me, Satan. The Lord Jesus understood the source of Peter's fear. He realized that Peter had been tempted with such things. These are abrupt words and yet not directed at Peter, but at the one who was the true offense, Satan. But Peter has bought into the lie that Satan has now shared and say, this is offensive speech. And Peter's like, I agree. And the Lord needs to let Peter know that his thoughts are an offense unto him. And so he shares his disappointment, but thankfully the Lord recognizes where the source of his fear come from. The word Satan, by the way, is one that means to be an adversary. And so in some ways you can look at this as a lesson to Peter. Peter, you are now being mine adversary. Instead of being a faithful minister, helping me in the work of God, you are now a foe standing in my way. You are the adversary to the plan of God. Can I remind you that all who oppose the will of God are not his friends, but his foes? Folks, there are times in every life where our will not match God's. Our plans won't match his. Our ambitions won't match his. Our aspirations are not his. And the question is, how do we respond? By an expression of faith or the expression of fear? Do we volunteer to be the helper of God? Do we help or do we hurt? Peter at one point was the friend. Now he is the foe, opposed to what God had in store. The second thing I see is an expression of love as the Savior reminds Peter of what's truly important. Look at the end of the verse. Thou savorest not the things that be of God. What you savor are the things of men. You want to know the difference between the friend of God and the foe of God? The friend of God savors the things of God. The foe savors the things of man. One lays up treasure in heaven. The other lays up treasure on earth. The one lives in the spirit. The other one always lives by the flesh. So I ask you tonight, friend or foe? Helping the cause of Christ or hurting it? See, it's fun sometimes to ask the pastor the question. Sometimes it's hard when God asks the questions back. And so the question tonight is, who are you? Do you savor the things of God? Or do you savor the things of man? God's way? Your way. God's plans? your plans. And when they don't match, are you going to do like Peter did and rebuke God for wrong plans? Folks, I'll be honest. We don't get tested with these kinds of questions in our day and age. But God tests us with similar questions. And what too often I think we hear are the expressions of fear when there should be expressions of faith. And too many Christians align themselves in the wrong place and find themselves to be hurting instead of helping. Two back-to-back events in Peter's life. One was an expression of faith, and the Lord was delighted and said, "You're my friend. To you I'm going to give the keys of the kingdom. You're going to be helpful to me." And he was. But at the next test, Peter failed miserably. And the Lord had to rebuke him and said, "Now you're being my adversary." And the Lord didn't want him there. And the Lord doesn't want you there. So again, I ask the question as we close. Helping or hurting? Friend or foe? I don't need to judge that of you. And you don't need to judge that of me. I'm not answering it for you, and you're not answering it for me. But each of us must stand and evaluate our own heart and see, friend or foe? So as you answer the question tonight, what side do you find yourself on? Let's pray together, please, as we close.